It's on silent here. Hi.
What can we do for you?
My name's Amy Crawford. I've got some questions.
Great.
I've got some concerns. And I'd like to start with this address issue that keeps happening.
I think you dealt with that with your partner.
Correct.
Earlier.
Correct.
Going to Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Century, so, something, something.
Yeah, what's really interesting is the February 12th letter right here went to the right place.
Yeah.
And then everything since then, going to Williamsburg.
Okay.
I made sure that our address was updated with the county at the end of March when I realized that they had our address listed as in Williamsburg. I have made several comments. I spoke with Debbie on July 6th. She told me that they were going to update the address. The postcard went to Williamsburg again.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where the disconnect is happening. I understand that there's a team that pulls the information from the GIS. I checked the GIS on Monday because I was doing some other research around FEMA floodplains.
Mm-hmm.
And our address is correct. It's listed as 3240.
Okay.
So my concern is when you have somebody who's raised this concern over and over again, who you know is a directly impacted landowner, why is there such a disconnect, and why are you not making sure that extra eyes are on this so that we get the information that we need?
Yeah, I don't know. We were aware of the change. I'm sorry we didn't make the change. We'll make sure going forward that we have the correct address.
And if somebody could, you know, please take the time to double check that.
3240
Oak Hill Road. You know, I found out about this late last night. I have a job. I'm also not sure why y'all decided to do this between the hours of 9 and 4 when people work. What was the thought behind that?
Also, we've had meetings in Buckingham before, and we had great attendance early in the day. People were able to, I guess, they have more flexible schedules with maybe some of the professions they had.
Well, you had one meeting here. Let's be clear, you canceled the other one.
Because of the measles.
Yeah, well, the measles outbreak is still going on, so why are we here today?
It's a more managed, people spread out intentionally.
Yep.
We provide masks, I mean, roughly comes to accommodate.
What could you be?
You're being a little bit impatient with me right now.
Yeah.
Given where I sit right now, some compassion and some kindness, and somebody who is actually going to listen to me would be very much appreciated.
We did spend a lot of time with your partner this morning,
mm-hmm.
so we're wondering if you have different information to share.
Yeah, I'm a different person.
Okay.
Laurel and I aren't the same human.
Correct, but it's the same property, and I guess that's where we're wondering if you have different information to share with us.
Notebooks, like, you know, that is I did want to show you, I believe Laurel did mention to you about the FEMA map, and I wanted to show that to you where it shows that it's on an A. Okay, sorry, bear with me here. Okay. So we have that, our property is shaped like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, this is your property?
Yes.
So there's the house, there's the swimming pool, our property goes. Back to. But yeah, that area is where Bryant Creek is, and that's where it's zoned for the flood. And that's right where one of the proposed lines is that goes right over that creek that floods every single year and is listed on the FEMA site as an area that's prone to a 100-year flood.
So it doesn't seem like a super ideal location for a transmission tower.
I mean, we do work around bodies of water. We can get a structure placement and such. Because we have to put them through bodies of water and over bodies of water.
We also don't have a preferred, I mean, haven't chosen it. I mean, all the routes are just draft routes. So we don't have a preferred route yet. So it could be this route that we send to the State Corporation Commission.
Set the address.
Yeah. It could be this route. I mean, we just haven't made that decision yet. That decision comes this fall before the SEC filing.
And how will that be announced, that next route?
We're going to have a virtual meeting at some point this fall. We haven't put the date on the calendar yet. So a virtual meeting, and we'll share the proposed route and the alternatives that are submitted to the State Corporation Commission.
This is actually a better map because you can see the parcel lines here, and then that's where the flooding is.
So this is your property here, right?
Correct.
And this is the
Brant Creek.
And so where does your property end? At that creek, or
yes,
okay.
The creek is
so it's
the,
a rectangular property, right? That's it.
More or less.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the one route crosses right there.
Yeah.
Right, and that's a swimming pool, right?
Yeah, swimming pool house.
Yep.
So the line is about 650 feet from our front door,
okay.
If I've done the map calculation correctly. I don't know if there are dangers, so obviously the pool is slightly closer. I don't know if there are dangers to having a swimming pool that
not,
close to a transmission
close.
Line.
No. I mean, and where we have existing infrastructure, existing transmission lines, you know, the only, the easement doesn't allow a few things. It doesn't allow swimming pools within the 200-foot wide easement.
Okay.
Doesn't allow permanent buildings. Doesn't allow playground equipment. I mean, it's all safety focused. So, you know, in the event that wire comes out of the thing that's holding it there to the structure, you know, we don't want those kinds of things in the right of way. There are very few restrictions. I mean, you can grow vegetables. You can have a vegetable garden. You can grow.
What we'd like to do is keep our forested land. That was one of the reasons that we bought that property was to not have structures or grow things there. It's, you know, Laurel also harvests. I'm sure she told you she's got a flower farm. Well, we have a flower farm, but she sells at the Ix Farmers Market, and she harvests ferns and other plants from that area.
Yep.
So, you know, that would also impact her business and our income.
So that's 750 feet from, if your property starts at Oak Hill Road and goes to Bryant Creek. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Right. 750 feet. The span lengths are about 1,200 or 1,300 feet. So whether they could span, I mean, they could certainly
from structure to structure.
Yeah. They haven't determined where, if this route is chosen, where the structures are going to be placed along the route. So I can't tell you that. Just because we haven't chosen a route yet, but that's what they would look at, where do the structures go, and it's about four or five structures per mile is the distance.
Are there lights on the lattice structures themselves? I've seen photos of other 765 kV lines, and it looks like the lattice structures often have glowing red lights on them. Will these have lights on them?
Only if they're 200 feet tall or taller.
Okay.
And these are not proposed to be taller than that, 150 to 175.
Okay.
I mean, I could imagine, you know, we haven't done the final engineering, so I can't tell you that every single structure on 150 miles would be under 200 feet. Maybe crossing the James River, you have to have a structure that's 200 feet tall. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that, but if structures are above 200 feet, they'll need a
still need a red light, an FAA light. But right now, we're saying on average structures 150, 175, so most, if not all, would not need a red light.
Okay.
One of my other concerns is that I work 100% remotely, so obviously I need to have reliable internet access. What are the chances that this transmission line that close to my home office could interfere with?
Never heard of that. Never heard of that.
Never heard of that.
Nope. In fact, we work with broadband providers to put broadband on our utility structures to help get the broadband out in the communities where it's tough to serve. So you have broadband provider. I have Verizon in my house, but you have out here different smaller providers, and we work with them to place broadband. We've got programs across the state, rural areas, and we know that broadband can be kind of a challenge in some of these more rural communities, Savannah, Buckingham.
Yeah, we still don't have it where we live. So
how do you get internet service now?
We have it through Brightspeed. Was Comcast, is now Brightspeed, but it's not broadband. It's not fiber. They put the fiber in about 12 months ago. I watched them do it, and I'm still understanding why.
So you have a box in your house that brings the internet to your house, and then you, is that how you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that what's Elon Musk's thing?
Starlink. That's what my parents have to use.
Yeah. I'm not giving that man a penny.
Well, they have no cell phone service, so if something happens to them, they have no other option. Also, they probably don't know who Elon Musk is, to be clear, so they're probably clueless.
I did put a comment on Geo Voice about this, but I just wanted to make sure y'all are aware that we do have a family cemetery on the property as well. It is not registered with the historical district. That's been on the list to do, but I've been busy fighting high voltage transmission lines since March 4th.
Did your partner know where that is as well? Where the cemetery is?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
Woods. There are two military headstones there, World War I veterans that served in the Harlem Hellfighters unit. Those are the only headstones there, but we believe that there are probably at least 10 other family members buried there, just because there are footstones and they're, you know, the ground is sunken in, which would indicate there's somebody's final resting place is there.
Do you have anything around them that sort of like, you feel like a little fence or anything around the headstones?
We have not, no. We just cleared out. It was pretty overgrown. In fact, the people we bought the house from said, you know, there's a Confederate soldier buried in there.
And you still bought the house?
And so we went poking around, and it turns out, no, it wasn't a Confederate soldier. It was two World War I black war vets, and it's the Cobbs family who owned the property, I think, back in the late 1800s. So I'm also concerned about the fire risk with these high voltage lines. It's my understanding that fires have been started in Texas and other states directly related to arcing and things coming off the high voltage lines. And the last thing I'd want to do is see any more of our forested land burn up and potentially put our home at risk.
I think what I hear from the construction folks is this is less likely because it's newer, it's brand new equipment. Is that
Am I right? And it's so much higher. It's higher.
And again, it speaks to the importance of clearing the right of way to the conductor, the wires. You know, when they're used and transferring power, they heat up, they can stretch. So when they choose the right of way that you need for a certain voltage, they're requirements. North American Energy Reliability Corporation has
standards.
So you need 200 feet of right of way, which means that at its lowest level, that conductor, if it swings, won't swing outside the right of way. So 200 feet is the answer. You 200 feet and that conductor, however it heats up, however it stretches, will not be move outside of that right of way. So that's why the right of way width is important. We have a fire program, fairly new to the company within the last 5 years, looking at those specific concerns to make sure that that we're not creating fire danger and fire risk in our infrastructure. We have almost 7,000 miles of transmission lines, so we pay attention to that.
I had also sent you an email a little while ago, and I sent a follow-up, I think maybe yesterday. I had some questions around how many landowners, and these are two separate questions, because a landowner may or may not be a resident, as you well know. In fact, you know, the land across the street from us is owned by BTG Pactual, and that goes through our farm and over onto their timberland. For Buckingham specifically, how many landowners are impacted by all the different proposed routes, as one question, and then how many residents and how many total miles of proposed routes are there in Buckingham County right now?
I think the proposed miles, I think, is probably around somewhere between 25 and 30. I don't have a specific number.
And that's inclusive of all of the proposed routes?
No, I think, you know, we're not, I think we crossed Buckingham with somewhere between 25 and 30 miles of a route. So, you know, we're gonna choose one. A, B, or C is probably going to be an impact of about 25 or 30 miles across Buckingham. The other information will be included in that application we file with the State Corporation Commission. I don't have that information for you today. So it'll be in the application. We'll put that information in when we have a final route, and we say, you know, to the State Corporation Commission, here's our final route. Here's the route we think best. Is the least impactful, you know, to residents, environmental, historical, cultural. Here's route X. That's our proposed route, and in that application will be the information you're requesting. All that will be number of parcels crossed, tree clearing, all of the things here.
So maybe a better question here. How many mailers did you send out in Buckingham to directly impact landowners?
We sent out more than 100,000. Oh, in Buckingham, I don't know the answer to that. It was people who lived.
Who would know that answer? Because somebody knows how many mailers went out in Buckingham.
I think we're going to give you that information.
Why would you not give that information?
Why would you?
Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to know how many of my neighbors in my community are dealing with this stress.
We're not going to provide that information.
So, transparency from y'all once again. I'm not sure why that needs to be such secret squirrel information to just tell somebody how many mailers went out in a county.
Okay.
You might want to check your website. website and all your language around transparency? Because that seems like a pretty benign question to me.
Sitting here with you, been here for 20 minutes, we've answered all your questions, but the number of parcels, the number of mail we've sent out will not be transparent. Okay. No.
You've had a rough couple months, I can tell.
I'm here to answer your questions today.
And you know what? So have I.
Yeah.
So have I. This was not on my bingo card. And I will fight this with absolutely every fiber of my being. This is not going to happen to us, to our neighbors, or to anyone. You all banked on us being a bunch of stupid country bumpkins, and you got more than you bargained for.
We've never treated
Buckingham County. I'm sorry to think that's not even accurate. I think that's an unfair statement.
100%.
We're not just in Buckingham. Right, like we are doing the same things in Buckingham, we're doing everywhere else.
Yeah,
being open,
it's rural central Virginia. It's all of rural central Virginia because you all thought we were stupid and would just roll over.
You're putting words in our mouth that we haven't said. So,
what other questions can we answer? Because I feel like we're not going anywhere right now.
Yeah.
So you've talked about the safety of these lines and that there's, I think I've heard you say there's no risk of shock, there's no potential risk of arcing. So why is it that you can stand underneath a 765 kV line with a light bulb and it lights up?
I've
never seen anyone do that.
Yeah.
We keep hearing about that. But
look at it, it's on YouTube, look it up.
Really? Yeah. That's like saying it was on Wikipedia, I mean, just because it's on YouTube. I don't know. Like, I've never gone out to do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's...
Well, maybe I'll give it a whirl and go out and do it and see.
Okay.
Film it and send it to y'all for your edification. Oh, pesticides. What is the right-of-way maintenance going to look like? Because we do have a pesticide-free flower farm, and so I'm wondering what will be sprayed underneath those lines.
They'll provide that information to property owners. Forestry will ask for it. I don't know what it is. They're happy to provide those data sheets. After they've initially cleared the right of way, they use backpack sprayers to control the woody vegetation.
They don't spray from helicopters?
Backpack sprayers.
They don't spray from helicopters.
That we do know, because that we ask. We don't have the actual material data sheet.
I'm sorry, you said the forestry service?
Our forestry group.
Yeah.
Forestry.
Oh, your forestry people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, when they install the lattice structures, how far down are they digging or drilling?
About 20 to 40 feet.
Okay. And then how is that stabilized? Is there like concrete poured around it? And that would only be around the lattice structures themselves.
Like your foot, the base.
The base. Okay.
So if the lattice structure has 4 feet, you need 4 foundations.
Okay.
So there's something a little round.
Okay. And then do you have any information on what will be required for the construction itself as far as staging, like land needed for staging the equipment, and how many potential acres that might be in addition to the line itself?
Not yet.
Yeah. That's information that we will develop when we have a final route and we have an approved route. We'll need staging. They call it lay down yards. So we'll need to find regional areas where we can put and stage equipment. And then the construction and access teams will have to work on those plans. And how do you access, once you have an approved right of way, an approved easement, how do you access those easements? Can you, you know, can you come in on this property, and then how far down can you go? Can you go a mile or 2 miles before you have to leave? Is there a creek? Is there a stream? Is there a river that we can't cross? So then you have to access from the other side of that water body. So we have a whole specialized team, and then I would think they've been looking at that amongst the two main routes, but nothing will be finalized until the SEC says this is the approved route. Then we'll get serious and we'll have construction open houses to explain the construction process, to explain the timeline for construction, to explain who to call. Somebody pees in your woods and you don't like it, you know, we'll address all those types of questions. But there's no reason to do that now, because, you know, construction is likely 2 or 3 years away from maybe longer, who knows. But you know, the SEC process takes a year. Working with residents on easements will take at least a year, maybe two. So that's, you know, another three years or longer before construction starts.
And would the construction also involve maybe temporary easements for?
Could, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not as knowledgeable about that process, but yeah, I think that I think that's right. I think they look for places that they can consistently access the right of way, but if they need temporary access, they're temporary easements as well.
And what is currently the proposed date that you all think you'll file with the SEC?
This fall sometime.
A month? Do you have an approximate month?
It'll be 2026. I don't have
okay.
I can't even nail down the month. Too many people are out on summer break, vacation. We'll get it nailed down. Get postcards in the mail and invite people to the open house, to the virtual open house, to explain the proposed route.
So those won't be in person, that'll just be a virtual open house? Okay.
We'll want to do it for the whole block.
And I'm sorry, when is that again?
Sometime this fall.
Okay.
Before the filing date.
So I saw an article that said that this line is following the gold mining, exactly the gold mining route. What's up with that?
First time I heard about gold mining was when we started meeting with people. I don't know what's up with that. That was not a consideration of the rabbit meat.
Okay.
Make me want to get out and
pan.
Cold, but I wouldn't know where to look.
Oh, surveying. What's the timeline on surveying?
Once the SEC has approved a route, then we can begin easement negotiations and signatures of route inspection authorization letters that allow us on the property to survey. And so then we begin the survey process to create plats, to determine how much land we're requesting for easement from property owner. And so that will be, if we file this fall 2026, SEC process usually takes about a year, 12 months, so fall 2027. So if the easement negotiation process takes a year, that's fall 2028. If the easement negotiation process takes 2 years, that's fall 2029. So I would say that somewhere between 2028 and 2029 would be when we would be working with survey crews to get out to properties to determine what the easement, the size of the easement would be that we would need from individual landowners.
So there won't be any surveying taking place prior to that?
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, we're not going to, one, we don't have a right-of-way that exists or easement that exists, and so we can't get on people's properties until we have access. We haven't asked anybody for access to the properties yet. Now, we work all over this area with our distribution, with our lower voltage guys, and the, there are other co-ops who do that stuff too. That work will continue, and if that work, distribution work somehow crosses parcels where this Joshua Falls to Yeet project is proposed, all that work is going to continue, but that's on the existing distribution smaller voltage wires. So that work will continue, but we haven't asked anybody for any access at all. We haven't asked anybody to sign any route inspection authorization letters. Okay. We haven't done any survey work at all.
Okay. But there have been helicopters and planes.
Doing a lot of flying for it's like radar, but it's called LIDAR. To determine the topography, probably looking at trying to determine do we miss any buildings, what's down there. You can't visit properties because we don't have access, so you can use LIDAR, which is like radar, to determine what is in the proposed path.
Okay.
How tall are the trees? How tall are the structures? How tall are the things that exist there now? That helps engineering do their work. I get that what we're proposing is not very many people appreciate. I get it. But we have had lots of meetings and lots of opportunities to meet with the public. In the case of Buckingham, we didn't come here for that second round of meetings because the county was not.
Who did you talk to at the county?
We have an external affairs guy who talks to all the county administration, the big three, the folks here.
So I work pretty closely with the Virginia Department of Health, and
that was their guidance. The guidance from the county said, please don't have a meeting in Buckingham County. I even called the library the week of the meeting here, and I said, how was your, they had a big thing here that weekend before June 18th. And I said, how well attended was it? They said, we got a great attendance. And I said, so nobody's concerned about the measles? She said, no.
There's no need to be concerned if you're vaccinated.
And I said, well, how about, did you rent any rooms out? We had them all rented out. We had a couple of birthday parties and a couple of bridesmaids got together. I said, how well were those attended? They were great. I said, so nobody's concerned. She said, no. The county said, don't have a meeting. We don't want you to have a meeting.
The county said that?
We talked to all kinds of people in the county. I'm guessing it was somebody from the county administrator's office. Anyway, we canceled a meeting and sent out 235 packets of information to people crossed by the proposed route. I don't know much about measles, but what they told me was, you can't have a meeting on the 18th of June. Don't think about having one a month later because the measles, it's only going to spread.
It's still here.
So we said, listen, we've got to try to have something to contact the landowners, something, and put it on the books soon, And so, yes, it was a short notice for people, and all I can do is apologize at the short notice, but here we are doing our best to answer questions between 9 and 4. We had to bring some people from, not that this matters, we had to bring some people from out of town. We had to sort of arrange all of this, and it took a little bit of time to put together. But here we are answering as many questions as we can. I didn't want 500 people here because that's not helpful to the people who are actually crossed by a power line or a proposed power line. I didn't want 500 people here. I know how those 500 people feel. I wanted the 235 people to be here to have an opportunity to have a meaningful conversation with our routing team. And that's what we're having. Doesn't mean we can't talk to people tomorrow or next week. We can, but the routing team is the most educated on the routes and the impacts and what they can or can't consider. Those meetings have been going well. I hope that more people come. I have no idea what the numbers are, but that's why we're here. We know people don't like this. We read the same stuff you do. I get it. But we are mandated to provide power to this Dom region. We have a choice. It's not you want to serve these customers or not. It's not that that's not the choice we have. The choice we have is in your Dom region. The load is going to double by 2035. The load, the amount of power that your customers are going to use.
Not Buckingham.
But Buckingham is in the region, in the Dom, the Dominion region, right? So maybe not Buckingham, maybe not. But in this region, it's doubling from 20,000 megawatts to 40,000 megawatts.
Put it where the need is instead of ruining people's lives.
The need is in
Northern Virginia,
in Stafford, and in Spotsylvania, and in Fredericksburg, and in Louisa. I was on a call this morning earlier, Greensville and Buckingham. The need is all of Richmond. The need isn't just Loudoun County and Fairfax County. I know everybody says that, and that's where there are a lot of data centers, more data centers than anywhere else in the world. Get that. But the need is shifting to Stafford County. There's a place in Stafford County that has proposed nine substations for a data center campus. Nine substations. So the need doesn't go all the way to Loudoun County to Dulles Airport anymore. It stops in Louisa. It stops in Goochland. We're not the data center people, we're the power people. It's our job to make sure someone wants to locate in your region, in your zone, we have the capacity to serve them. And right now there's a concern looking ahead in 2029, 2030, 2031, with all of the development that's sort of coming in central Virginia, how are we gonna serve all of that load? Are we gonna have all the infrastructure in place? And I can't tell you today that we will. What I can tell you is a bunch of people at Dominion spent the 4th of July watching their phones and answering phone calls because it was gonna be for 4 or 5 days in a row, 98, 99, 100, 101, feels like 117, all those, remember those days, and what that, the way the load builds on an electrical system is day one, it builds up to close to your max. Day two, it's higher. Day three, it's higher. It keeps building. And we were extremely close to having to do what they call shed load, which means you turn some customers off proactively so you don't ruin, you don't break the grid. And the first group of customers would have been data centers in Loudoun County because they all have generators behind them that can start up. But I mean, that's how close we are, and it's 2026.
right? So as we get closer to 2027, 2028, there's a lot of people who are watching the power capacity very closely at Dominion, but also at PJM, which you know regulates the grid. And I think PJM is concerned. I think Dominion's concerned. We need power lines, we need generation. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that are happening. So this piece feels like a huge piece to everybody who's impacted by it, but it's a small piece compared to everything that's needed to make sure that when people put their lights on, the light switch, the lights work. And we are in a unique position, many will say unenviable position, where we have to balance your needs with data center needs, with historical, your World War One headstones. We gotta balance all of that, but yet still, when you drive to your 7-Eleven, you gotta be able to get your coffee, or you gotta turn your light switch on. That's gotta work. So trying to figure all that out is not easy. We didn't sign up for easy. It's not fair. We didn't sign up for fair. It's trying to figure out a lot of puzzle pieces. So it's for people like you, for the 4,000 people we met with, it's a very emotional issue. And so we do it, I think, with as much grace, as much empathy as we can muster. And I apologize, sometimes it feels like I could muster a little more grace and empathy, but it's been a long year. So I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you came to show us the impacts to your property and tell us about it. I hope what we've provided to you has been helpful, and hopefully you'll reach out if you have some other questions for us.
Even if this line moves off my land, I'm not giving up this fight. I'm in it, and I will take this all the way to the state Supreme Court if I have to. I will fight you tooth and nail before I let you take a piece of dirt from my land. How you lay your head on the